Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful you chose to be with me. Or maybe you just found me. Or maybe this is a whole big accident. Who knows? But anyway, you and I are here together on this beautiful 31st day of August, and I certainly hope that I'm able to help you. We're going to be talking about a very interesting subject, and it is all about the word change. Change is a four-letter word for a lot of people. I want to remind you, this never changes, that it is only through your tax-deductible gift that Aspire is allowed to be aired here. And if you're enjoying our radio program on the internet here or on the website at aspire.org, I certainly hope that you will become a sponsor. A sponsor is a person who helps us sustain our radio program. Yes, everything costs money, even this. And I know you're thinking, well, this should be free. Well, I wish that were true, but it isn't. And we need your donations, your tax-deductible gifts. A sponsor is a person who helps us quarterly or monthly with a donation of their choice. And if you become a sponsor, you get some wonderful gifts for your monthly or quarterly support. The message of the month, on the theme of the month that I am working on, and for September, it is on the whole idea of the significance, finding meaning in significance, and I talk all about that. You also get access to my podcast and video cast and commentaries twice a month that I offer, and they are, what do I want to say, they're for a more serious student, someone who is definitely considering or is working on themselves. And, of course, you get access to all 122 of my TV discourses that I've done over the year. All of those discourses are there and available for you. You can download them and listen to them and use them as you wish, and hopefully they will serve you well, very well. So all of this you get if you go to the website at aspire.org. And you hit that little button at the top there, support. Drop menu will ensue. And it says, why support Aspire? And you can read all about where your donations go and why it is so very important. I hope you will do so. We really need your support. Coming up here in September, we will be doing our year-end drive to keep our radio program. And our mystery donor, who I dearly love and has really, changed his tune and was very, very kind this year and is going to be kind next year, will match your year-end donation dollar for dollar beginning tomorrow. So that's a really wonderful thing to help us sustain our efforts. And I work very hard at hospice and, of course, with my students and with radio and TV to help those of you who seek the way. I hope you will become a sponsor. Change. It is something that most people have a real hard time with. I can't even begin to tell you how much change plays a role in our lives, whether we like the change or not. It's a big role. And it comes into manifestation in all sorts of different ways. Every day we're changing, getting older, getting close to death. Every day we have our fate to meet, our destinies to have. They change us. There's all sorts of change that goes on. People change their minds. As you get older, you'll find that your synapses fire off in a different way, or your chemistry in your body, your testosterone, your estrogen changes, the levels, that changes your psychology. It's all a great big flux. And to understand it all, it isn't difficult to understand it all. It's just difficult to deal with it all at times, because you're going one way and then you find yourself going in another way, and it's going on and on and on. Anyway, let's go to the first question. This comes from Ralph. He does not tell me where he lives. How do I change what seems to be absolutely unchangeable, he says. Well, what makes you think it needs to be changed if it seems unchangeable? There are some things you got to know when to hold them and when to fold them, okay? You got to look at things from the point of view, is this something I have brought on to myself that I have to fulfill? There are some changes that we have to accept, and if we go along with them, they take us to other avenues, and it's kind of like an unfoldment. We go from here to here to here. Now, not all of those changes, I hate to say, are for the benefit of your own spiritual awakening, and that's where the decision comes in. Is this change something I need to make for the sake of my spiritual awakening, or is this a change I have to make to maybe relieve myself of a problem or make the problem worse even? These things, there are no set rules. Everybody wants rules. What's the rule for this? What's the rule for that? Just give me the rule and I'll follow it. It doesn't work like that. This life works on the essence of some kind of spiritual intelligence that most people simply do not possess. So let me give you some examples here, Ralph, and maybe this will help you. Sometimes a change will come that the human part of us does not like. Maybe a divorce. Let's use something really drastic, a divorce. And you find yourself in a place where the person you thought you loved and all of that doesn't love you anymore, and you are now going to be separated. He or she has found someone new, we'll say, in this, you know, great big thing. So it hurts the human heart. It really bangs the ego big time. And the trouble is that the human heart is the ego, and nobody wants to admit it, but it is. So the ego gets very hurt, it gets insulted, it gets angry. It's looking for, well, why is this and why is that and why didn't you do this? And why, and all sorts of things start to ensue. And before you know it, there's huge resentment. Now, a part of you would probably love to say, I don't want this to happen. I wish I could go back, as Paul McCartney said, to yesterday. Well, you can't. You just can't. People change. And this is the risk that we all take when we engage in making our happiness about a human being, another human being. So that human being changes on you. And all of a sudden, you're out there and it's over. What should you do? Well, a lot of people, frankly, Ralph, would go out and try to find another woman or another man. And that's what they do. This is the pedestrian mentality. Instead of doing all of that, some people might go into some kind of self-analysis and looked at themselves and said, well, how did I cause this? And that would be getting closer and closer. You have to ask yourself in human relationships, all human relationships, you know, what do I put another person through to love me? You really have to ask that question. And after you really get the answer to that, then you know a lot more than you did before about why maybe somebody left you or why there's this change. But for the most part, all of us have to do the same thing. We have to go with the change. And we have to move with it, not in the way of a victim, but to be open to all the change that might be there, not in order to find a better person or another one, but to ask ourselves those questions. What is it about me that makes me think I have to depend on another human being for love? What is the makeup of why I choose people to love? In other words, my DNA, it's just about reproduction and that whole gamut. And is there a love that is higher, more, shall we say, pronounced than the human love we get involved in? Is there a greater love? Now, that would be a really higher cause, and you would be doing something really significant if you went in that way. In other words, I'm not going to be involved again like this. I'm not going to put my fate to the wind of another person's emotionality. I'm going to look for the sake of love, and I'm going to make that the single most important thing in my life. Now, you do something like that, and you're doing something way out of the box. Most people would not do that. Most of us just want to be occupied because we're afraid to be alone, or we don't like being alone, or whatever that is. But there's your example. You go with it, and you see where it leads you. And if you do any self-examination, if you can get into third person and watch and see how the ego, the evil part of us all, twists and turns with the idea. We're getting close to Halloween, so I'm getting, you know, this monster inside of us wants a companion, wants a victim, wants somebody to do this to that or that to this. And you really start to find out what Buddha meant when he said, see how you love and what keeps you from the journey. It is only in what I call love that keeps me from my inner journey. So maybe this could be something that compels you, Ralph, to go deeper inside yourself, to find the meaning and the significance of what it is to be the love you seek. Now, if you do things like that, then you later on, as you go down this road and you really start to work on yourself and see all this, you will see that it was a blessing. A lot of things that happen to us are blessings that we cannot accept simply because our ego has been, you know, bumped and hurt and is angry at us. So there you are. It's really that simple. Ralph, change. Go with the flow. The seasons change. The earth changes. Everything changes. It morphs into this, it morphs into that. Be patient. Morph with it. Mature. Grow. Don't make old age difficult on yourself. Don't make it a condition. Make it a revelation, a revolution, a beauty in you. Please forgive me. Namaste. It's a great question. The next question comes from Angela, or as she calls it, Angie, in Los Angeles. Are some things God-oriented or just meant to be? I am just not really sure how things change and why they do and what God's plan is for me. Angie. Angie, I know it comforts you probably emotionally to think that there is some man, a man, in the sky somewhere and in the ethers named God that has a plan just for you. I mean, just for you. You insulted yet? Bet you are. And the thought that there might not be a plan for you, because whatever you're about or you isn't important to this man, this God guy. This is the source. I breathe this way because it pains me all the time to think that people believe in something that causes them more pain. If life isn't painful enough, trying to make sense out of all this pain based on the mental acumen of my understanding of what life is all about is ridiculous and hopeless. So, Angie, I don't know this God you believe in, and I don't really want a God to believe in like that. I really don't, so I don't go there. I don't think in those terms. So I can't really answer your question on the level you want it answered on. You asked me, are there some things that God ordained or oriented to your life, and they just can't be changed as you are, they're meant to be, as you say. There are many things in our life that are meant to be only because of the way we are. Angie, everything is based in love. And Jesus said it best, God is love. So it is love. We are here to move into the pedigree of love, the beauty of love, the goodness of love. And that means I have to have a constant let go, emotional, psychological, even physiological. I have to let go, let go, let go. Let go of what I believe in, let go of what I want, let go of the way things are. I just have to be willing to let go. And if I don't let go, then everything starts to manufacture according to the level of its own nature. Human love manufactures love, manufactures people, manufactures ideas and ideals, and makes them what they are. And I am prejudiced about the way I love and the people I love because they're in the image and likeness of my ideals, my beliefs, my theories. It isn't that I really love them or they really love me. It's just that we have found an ideal. We have found concepts, beliefs, traits in our DNA, traits in our genetics that mesh into one thing. How you and I can survive together. That's it. That's all it is. And wanting to survive is the strongest human impulse a person can have. And it's the most misunderstood of all the impulses, to stay alive, to survive. You love anyone who helps you survive. You'll give anything to help someone who helps you survive, even what you call your love. And most people are impervious to this. They don't see it. Basically, they're not intelligent enough to understand this. So they go on and on and on in this world trying to find some common ground, some mutual emotional common ground that is going to change underneath their feet as they get older. Person you are now is not the person you were 15 years ago, and it won't be the person you're going to be in 15 more years, no matter what you may think. So you have to begin to understand what it's all about for you, what you're all about. How do I love? What keeps me from the journey of my heart, my soul, to help me recognize my soul, to enter into my soul, which is what this entire lifetime is all about, just entering into the soul. This soul is the goodness of all. It is the oneness of all. It is the presence of love within us. We see things only out of the eyes of the ridiculous mind that we have that is based on survival. It's all about survival of the fittest. And that's what we're all about, survival of the fittest. So, Angie, God bless you. I don't mean to be mean or contrary to you, but I can't agree with your premise. So, therefore, I can't really help you that much. And I'm sure you're shaking your head going, no, no, no. And because, you know, people and women especially want someone to be in charge of this whole operation called planet Earth. And so they put it on this fictitional God that they have developed in their mind that tells them that God has a plan for you. Well, if he does, he's pretty screwed up. And if you look at this world and you think there's a plan for this world, it's pretty screwed up. And if you think that the plan is that the world is going to come to God or love or whatever, that's pretty screwed up. And he misjudged his own creation. He's a mess, really, because that God doesn't exist, honey. It is only love that exists. And that is too hard for the pedestrian mentality to wrap their head around. I hope that helps you. And I hope you're not insulted. Please don't be. Your life is more important than your ego's disdain for what I just said. Please forgive me. Namaste. Now you know why I always say, please forgive me. The last question is, he wants to be anonymous, but it is a male. If my change is for the good or the bad, what do they mean? Am I being rewarded? Am I being punished? Mr. Anonymous, you are neither being rewarded, you are neither being punished. It has nothing to do with either of those things. And if you think it does, you miss. Everything is happening in accord with what you and I have set forth in our lifetime through our karma. That's just the way it works. You don't have to believe a word I said. It doesn't change the truth of what I said. And it is what we all face. This is why some things look insurmountable. The fact that you and I come here with a human body. We come into a world where a human body is more important to us than anything else. That is the supreme issue in our life, is the state of the human body and why we are in it. You and I live in an animal. I want you to hear this. An animal that is basically out of control. It has whims and instincts to kill, to devour, to hoard, to being mean and cruel, territorial. It will lie, cheat, and steal for its own survival. You live in that animal, but you are not that animal. You are not. And you must find that which you are and transcend this animal. And should you not do so, you are subject to the whims of the animal no matter what. So it will look like sometimes you get this, you don't get that. Sometimes this can happen to you, sometimes that won't. You're not being punished or rewarded. It's the way things move in the animal. It's the way things live in the animal. It's just the way the animal is. And if you follow that for the rest of your life, you have gone against yourself. You've gone against the state of your heart. And you're going to miss your entire life. There comes a time somewhere in the unfoldment of all of us where we meet our maker. And that maker is not something outside of us. The maker is what lives inside of us. And should we have the willingness to meet that maker the way we have lived our life, our philosophy, our beliefs, our ego, once we see it for what it is, we can transcend it. You are never left here without the chance to transcend. You are never left here without that chance. So don't think that you're stuck, because you're not. It is about love. It is about loving kindness. It is about the way, the truth, and the light of our heart. The kinder you are, the more compassionate you can be, the more forgiving, the more you will find understanding. An understanding that you've never had before, and it will help you transcend everything that you do. Don't be foolish. Don't live your life against your life. Live your life in accord with your life. And that life is love. And that's why every great master has pushed us towards love no matter what. Great question, Mr. Anonymous. Thank you for ending our program, and thank you for your question, and thank you for listening. Have a beautiful day. I'll be back on the air tomorrow. Please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.